When Steely Dan was preparing to go on the road, the band rehearsed in a New York studio. A few weeks ago, black boxes lay strewn about the floor. Five guitars rested on a rack by the wall. About 1 o'clock, the musicians wandered in to pick them up. The band's saxophone player, Cornelius Bumpus, comes in the door pretending to need directions.
Yo, where's Steely Dan? Nobody wants to fess up to it.
Steely Dan's founders arrive last. Donald Fagen noodles on keyboards as Walter Becker warms up his fingers on the guitar. They're wearing peaceable expressions and tennis shoes. They're a little grayer than three decades ago when they founded a group that mixed smooth, jazzy music with sharp and nasty lyrics like Hey 19 and Reeling in the Years. Walter Becker and Donald Fagen are going on tour again in their mid-50s. Becker has the deeper voice, and you'll hear him speaking first.
This is going to be the first year where we're going to be wearing defibrillator backpacks during the actual performances. I don't know if you've seen those things, but, you know, they're pretty good.
Ready for anything?
Yeah, that's kind of like a Ghostbuster, you know, mini Ghostbuster rig, but the ghost that it's aimed at preventing the appearance of is yours.
We've got some of those things you take your pulse with, those things you blow up, you know,
your
blood pressure.
Yeah, we got magnetometers, you know, we got you know, it's like a Glenn Gould movie, you know, at this point.
If there's any emergencies in the audience, we just bring the people backstage because we have such a complete medical...
We have a lot of, you know...
While we're playing, we're sometimes distracted, we're getting here from backstage. Clear! Clear! You know.
Well, see, a lot of people don't know that there is such a thing as recreational defibrillation.
I'm in a blue screen. Off 20 treasure rounds, and that's when she jumps the turnstile. And as she clings to the roof of the speeding train, the double A down to Sheridan Square. Her cell phone rings, it's like her stupid father in the dumb I 10 again.
Steely Dan's new album is called Everything Must Go. The lyrics chronicle the lives of broken businessmen and lonely divorced men and dirty old men fantasizing about drugs or teenage supergirls, or maybe not. Nothing is entirely straightforward in their songwriting or in their conversation.
We don't want what we do to be too one-dimensional. And, you know, and the fact of the matter is that a lot of pop music is, at least for a while and in some circumstances by some people, listened to without regard to what the lyrics are and so on. They sort of get the mood of the thing, and they'll pick out a word or two here or there, and so that's something to consider also.
Well, do you care if anybody gets what you're saying?
Yeah, I think we do care, but we don't necessarily care that everybody needs to get it. People can sort of listen to it at whatever level they... for example, I think our music, it's been universally agreed that our music is the best possible muzak, rock muzak to play in a supermarket.
Works well in an elevator.
You know.
I'm interested in how the two of you, because there are two of you,
mm-hmm.
how you write,
at least two of us.
There seem to be at least two, a minimum of two of you.
Yeah.
I mean, if you looked at a song like this, I mean, how did you write that? Where did it come from? Which one of you started it?
Prince too small for me to actually see, so I...
Shove it across.
Indicating the, let the record reflect that he's indicating the lyrics from the song
Everything Must Go. Okay.
Well, that was a title that has been on in our master list of, you know, gags, concepts, song titles, what have you.
You see it in electronic stores in Fifth Avenue in New York all the time.
Yeah, you see it.
Right, going out of business, everything must go, we got to move it,
it's,
you know, all items in the store, 60% off, and so on. And this was around not long after the Enron event and similar events. And I must say that also, we've been wanting to write a song about business for a long time.
Don't you remember we wrote a song called Green Mailing Bastard?
That's right, it just never really...
it wasn't a hit. But so this was an idea that we had on our list for a long time. I think we were in Hawaii, Donald came in, he had some music to go with it, and we sat down and wrote it.
It's high time for a walk on the real side. Let's admit the bastards beat us. I moved to dissolve the corporation in a pool of margaritas.
The narrator of that song is one of a lot of narrators here that is either being brutally honest or just doesn't like himself very much.
Sort of alternates between brutal honesty and self-reproach.
For us, those two things go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other, but...
It's usually like an opportunist with a heart of gold sort of thing, you know. Okay.
And it's always tempting to wonder if there's a self-portrait in here someplace.
Oh, no, we don't know anything about that. Certainly not. As you can see, we're pretty chipper guys. We, you know, roll out of bed with a smile on our faces and a song in our hearts almost every day of the week.
Kinda like frying up my sad cuisine. Getting in bed, curling up with a girly magazine. Sometimes in the corner of my eye, I see that adorable ghost. Remember, boom, I remember the things I miss the most.
I mean, I'm thinking of just two different kinds of ways to age in this business, and one of them is Lionel Hampton, who had to be helped out on stage
right.
in the late years, and yet still it was great to see Lionel Hampton.
Right.
Uh-huh. But there are plenty of other guys that you just think, these people shouldn't be out there anymore.
Well, that may be us, too. I don't know.
Well, people were already thinking that about us in the 70s, so,
right.
you know.
Nothing
would be,
to lose.
it would be a shame if they didn't continue to think that to some extent, you know.
You know, punk bands are just, you know, we were the enemy of punk bands, you know, all over, and they sort of, you know, where are they now, sort of, you know.
Donald Fagen and Walter Becker are Steely Dan. Gentlemen, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, guys, I'll stop there unless you think I missed anything important that you wanted to say.
We didn't talk about girls. I mean, that, you know, it's an obvious glaring omission to, you know, from any agenda that, you know.
What about them?
I'd rather not talk about
it. Yeah, I don't want to talk about that either.
Steely Dan plays tomorrow in St. Paul and Friday in Chicago. If you want an extended interview and photographs, you can go to our website at npr.org.